Good evening, everybody. Welcome to my presentation. First, I would like to thank APHA for giving me this honorable platform to present my research. Having said that, I want to start my presentation, which is titled Electronic Medical Records and the Identification of Individuals with Morbid Obesity in a Rural Appalachian Population. Now, as we all know that obesity is a major public health concern in the United States, and it has been seen that obesity ranks second among the primary causes of preventable diseases throughout the U.S. So basically, obesity has taken an epidemic form in the United States. And if you look into the Appalachian region, there is a lot of health disparities in that region. So in terms of cancer, in terms of diabetes, they are much higher compared to the national average. And similar is the case with obesity. If you see in terms of the prevalence rate is almost 31%, which is much higher compared to the national average, which is somewhere around 25 or 26%. So, and it has been estimated that between the year 2000 and 2005, the prevalence of morbid obesity, which is basically defined as having a body mass index of greater than or equal to 40 kg per square meter, has increased almost twofold. So there has been a very steep increase in the prevalence of morbid obesity. Now, why morbid obesity is so complex? First, it is associated with an extremely high rate of morbidity and mortality. Now, many different complications can develop due to morbid obesity, which includes and is not limited to metabolic, gastrointestinal, renal, cardiovascular, respiratory, genitourinary, as well as gynecological complications. Moreover, if a person is morbidly obese, there is an elevated surgical risk associated with that person. And apart from this morbidity and mortality, another important aspect is the healthcare expenditure. And it has been seen that the per capita healthcare expenditures among individuals with morbid obesity are 50% greater compared to individual with class 1 obesity, which is within the range of 30 to 34.9 kg per square meter. So they are almost two times more expensive than this class 1 obese people. Now, it is very important to record the height and weight to calculate BMI values in clinical care. Whenever we go into a doctor's room, the first thing they are supposed to do, or rather do, is to measure the vital status and the height and weight. Now, it has been seen that BMI values are not often recorded, and that leads to underuse of obesity-related counseling and services. So there is a big gap. So you walk into the doctor's room, they take a good look at you and they prescribe everything, but due to the lack of documentation of the BMI, the care needed to take care of the obese or overweight people, that is not being rendered. Now, electronic medical records that contain BMI values provide an effective tool to identify individuals with overweight and obesity to provide appropriate preventive services related to obesity. And that is where these electronic medical records are so useful in terms of getting the reminders, in terms of getting the pop-ups, so that the physicians are, at least, or the other healthcare providers are in the loop to understand that this person is overweight or obese and needs some kind of counseling or services related to obesity. Next, coming to the rationale and objective of this study, our literature review suggests that many studies have assessed the usefulness of electronic medical records for treating childhood obesity, but very few have focused on adult population. And particularly in the Appalachian region, there has been, as to the best of our knowledge, there has been no study which examined the documentation of BMI values in the electronic medical records. Therefore, the objective of this study is to examine the documentation of BMI values in EMR in the Appalachian region. Now, coming to the methods section, first let's start with the data source. EPIC EMR or EPIC Care EMR. So this EMR was implemented in the year 2008, and we are the first group of researchers to use this EMR in this Appalachian region. No one before us has taken a stab at it and have done any analysis. So we are the first to do exploratory as well as all the studies on this data set. So Epic EMR comprises medical records from multiple programs across the West Virginia University Hospital Systems and the University Health Associates Systems. So there are many different units associated with these two systems. They include Ruby Memorial Hospital, WVU Children's Hospital, Chestnut Ridge Hospital, WVU Harper's Ferry Family Medicine, as well as Jefferson Hospital and many other hospitals. Epic EMR captures patient information and clinical care provided to patient at each visit or healthcare encounter. So whenever you are going into, whenever a patient goes into the doctor's room, all the different medical conditions and all the records are being captured in this Epic EMR after it has been implemented in 2008. Now, through the use of Epic software, the physicians can enter the patient information directly into the computer systems, which can easily be accessed to other providers like the nurses and the pharmacists to understand their instructions in a proper way. And also they can get pop-ups and reminders to understand if the patient is obese or overweight and to take care of them in a proper manner. Epic EMR also allows physicians to track patient information electronically. So you just go on and click on the patient profile and all the information you can get at your fingertip. So that's the beauty of this Epic EMR. For the purpose of this study, we received two data sets. One was the comorbidity data set, another one was the demographic file. So, and we merged these two data set using a unique number, which was termed as a sequence number in the data set, which is a unique patient ID. Now, the comorbidity file, it was generated by the people using the Agency of Healthcare and Research, Research and Quality, AHRQ, Clinical Classification Software, or CCS software, and we used the PROC SQL steps to generate them into person-level data. And then we merged it with the demographic file to get a consolidated data set upon which we conducted all our analysis. Coming to the study design and sample, this study used a retrospective cross-sectional design using data from 2010 and 2011. The inclusion criteria included adults aged 18 years and above who had at least two outpatient visits to the WVU hospital systems in the calendar year 2010 or 2011. And the exclusion criteria included that if a patient had only inpatient visits, then they were excluded from the sample. Now, these are the list of the different variables that we used and their definitions. Like I was talking about class 1 obesity, morbid obesity, and all the variable definitions have been provided in this slide. And moreover, the comprehensive list of co-occurring chronic conditions, which are most often associated with obesity, they were also taken into account in this study, which included anxiety, arthritis, and all the listed. And I just want to mention that GERD is gastroesophageal reflux disorder, PVD, peripheral vascular disorder, and PRS is pregnancy-related services. And also we used different demographic factors that were available, which included gender, race, ethnicity, age groups, health insurance, and the state of residence. And the state of residence is important in this matter because if you see the position of West Virginia or Morgantown in general, it is very well connected to all the adjacent states. And so people from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Maryland, and all those places do come to these hospital systems to take care of themselves. Statistical analysis, bivariate analysis included chi-square test, which were used to evaluate the unadjusted associations between BMI value recorded and each of the independent variables. Multivariate logistic regression on BMI was conducted with reference as the BMI recorded. So we had two groups, BMI not recorded and BMI recorded. So BMI recorded was a reference group with all the independent variables. And for all the purpose of analysis, we use SAS version 9.3. Now coming to the results section. So this is the demographic characteristics. So starting with gender, we had more female population, around 60%, and 40% was male. The race or ethnicity, this was particularly skewed, with almost 95% being whites, and the rest being other race categories like Latino, African-American, Asian, and other race. In terms of age group, 40 to 64 age group had the highest number of individual people, and followed by 18 to 34. In terms of health insurance, private insurance was the biggest part of this insurance coverage, followed by Medicare and Medicaid. And West Virginia had the highest amount of people in this whole population. Now, these are the comorbidity characteristics of the individual patients, and you can see that hypertension was the most common comorbid conditions associated with all these patients, followed by hyperlipidemia, heart disease, diabetes, type 1 or type 2, GERD, any type of cancer, and thyroid. So these were the most prevalent conditions among this sample population. Now, coming to the results of the logistic regression of not recorded versus recorded BMI, it was seen that unknown race was almost three times more likely to have a non-recorded BMI. So if you do not have your race recorded, then you are more likely, almost three times more likely compared to white people, that you will have a non-recorded BMI. And all the age group, in terms of the higher age groups like 65 to 69, 70 to 79, and 80 and above age group compared to younger age group, they had more likelihood of having a non-recorded BMI. These are selected in information, and we had a whole logistic regression. We did three different logistic regressions. First was including only the demographics. Then we added screen information to that model, and finally we used all the different variables in the model, and these are the results from that final model in which all the different factors were being controlled for. So and also substance abuse was seen to be like 24% more likely to have a non-recorded BMI. So these are basically the few very interesting results from this study. Now, coming to the discussion, what might be some of the reasons why this is all happening? We found that approximately 91% of the sample had a recorded BMI values, and this finding, if you see, is a little higher compared to other studies which have shown somewhere around 60 to 70% recording of the BMI values. Now, unknown race is almost three times more likely to have a non-recorded BMI, and this is a very interesting finding, and honestly, I mean, it's very difficult to come up with a reason why it is so, but an unknown race, like it was classified, either you don't know the race or the patient has refused to state his or her race. So in those groups, they were not being recorded the BMI. So more further research is needed to be done to understand what are the factors that are leading to this kind of outcome. Now, similar findings were observed with increased age and substance abuse. And with increased age, we can argue that the mobility might be affecting. Suppose a person is in wheelchair and he or she is not getting up to do the weight and all analysis. And moreover, we didn't have information. I have stated that in my limitation sections, but I will just mention it here, that maybe we didn't have information about the mental and physical health status of this individual, which might be a very big factor to understanding why they are not getting up and doing all the recording their weight and height and all. So that might be a reason why older age group were more likely to have less recording of BMI compared to younger age group. Now, some of the limitations of this study, since it is entering all the data, so erroneous and or incomplete data may lead to faulty estimations. And results from this study may not be generalizable to other settings of population, because Appalachian region itself is very different as compared to other populations, so it's not generalizable. We cannot rule out the possibility of the presence of unmeasured confounders influencing the results that we see. Moreover, the specialty of physicians are not available in the data set, because those are very sensitive information within this system, so we do not have the access to that kind of information. And physical and mental health status are not available in the data set. So that is also another big limitation in the study. Now, a few strengths of the study. This is the first study, to our knowledge, to examine the documentation of BMI values in EMR in the Appalachian region. We used a comprehensive list of variables in this study, and this study included a high population, like the total population was 88,261 patients within the 2 years combined. So it was a large study sample. And finally, the implications and conclusions. Bioinformatic efforts need to incorporate electronic reminders or pop-ups of VMI values over 40 kg per square meters. Because USPS task, PSTF task force, they say that you have to give certain kind of counseling and services to people who are morbidly obese so that they don't develop more complications and they don't die because of those conditions. And next, reminders will help providers to counsel patients with chronic illnesses and morbid obesity on proper nutrition and physical activities for wellness and secondary prevention of chronic illness complications. So this is very important, and so we need to record the BMI values. And finally, concluding, like EMRs, the EPIC EMR was able to capture BMI values for an overwhelmingly majority of the study population, almost 91%. And unknown race, higher age group, and substance abuse were associated with decreased chances of BMI being recorded. And these are a few of my references. I would like to acknowledge all the authors in this study, and my mentor, Dr. Usha Sambamurthy, our department chair, Dr. Madhavan, Jeff, and Michael, for their support throughout getting the data and all, and Dr. Kulinda, who is the chancellor of this of our Health Sciences Center in WVU, and to my family and friends. Thank you. Any questions, any comments, please?
Questions? Yes. I'm afraid the answer to the question is, the poor child will, like, die. You've done very well. You may die with relief now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to suggest that when you go back and have a chance to look at it, based on my observations of how EMRs are used, I'm betting that people who aren't recording rates aren't recording it because they aren't, and they aren't recording BMI, that they decided not to use those fields.
Okay.
It may be coming from a very small number of clinics.
Okay.
But, case in point, we had an episode where I worked, where we had a whole bunch of no ages, and when we finally tracked them down, we realized it was the branch of the practice that was providing sports medicine to local college. All the people were in the 4-year age range, so nobody saw any reason to come in.
Thanks for the point. I mean, we can definitely do some sensitivity analysis and all once we move ahead with the study. Thanks for the suggestion. Yes.
The other question, I thought that one of the rationales that you felt that was important to the BMI was to alert the clinician.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have somebody that has a BMI of greater than 40, let me tell you, the clinician needs to know.
Yeah.
It's just so obvious.
A couple of years ago, there was a presentation on a similar topic at this session from Norfolk, Virginia. They said that they looked through to see what the house staff did, their interns and residents, and so they listed obesity as a problem. Well, since then, there's been obviously a lot more interest in obesity.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that my residents, well, the BMI will be right there, okay? And when it comes to the physical exam, they'll say normal. They won't check obese, or they won't try to remember what it is. And I go through and I, you know, say, gee, the BMI was this.
Yeah.
So that means it's not even penetrating. And the question of whether it goes into the problem list is the next thing. Okay, the BMI can be there, but if it's not in the problem list or a diagnosis or something, so you sort of, when you had your comorbid conditions, you had it as a problem, in the problem list, right?
Yeah.
So did most of the people who noticed it, did they notice it and label the patient as obese or morbidly obese or not?
Yeah, basically what we saw was, like, we have a recorded BMI because this EPIC system, once you enter the height and weight, the BMI is just calculated, yeah.
And then does obesity become a problem in the EMR?
Actually, if you have obesity, then they give you a pop-up, like a reminder that you need to do something with this patient.
I think it varies from
system to system.
And we could probably talk about it longer, but I think we have to move on, but
sure.
I think we will talk about it later.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.